our Spring Cleaning of the Heart and Mind series by facing avoidance head on. We spend our limited energy avoiding people, situations, and feelings that make us uncomfortable, all while avoiding necessary growth and change, and the truth that we can do hard things. We're staring down truth, soaking in the tips, and admitting out loud that we must face what we're running from, and that we have the help of our Savior to do it. Thanks for being here. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome back. I've got Crystal and Julian with me today.
Hi.
And we're going to start with some irony today.
Okay.
Yep.
I almost avoided using this topic because I felt like it was too close to self-sabotage.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to avoid avoidance. So, but yes, now it is 100% a form of self-sabotage.
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't cover it a whole lot last week because I knew this one was coming. But it is way bigger than just a little trait we could list in another episode. So it gets its own show today and it goes deep.
Yeah.
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 Really excited.
You should learn
how I avoid things.
Because we do it.
Oh, I know and I do
we
it.
We do it creatively.
And
it's called folding laundry.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into some definitions.
Okay.
Okay. MichaelWetter.com said avoidance is the attempt to minimize and avert perceived danger, threat, or anxiety.
Okay.
Perceived.
Psychology Today says psychological avoidance refers to any response to a perceived, there's that word again, threat that brings immediate emotional relief but comes with long-term negative consequences.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Long-term,
but I feel okay in the moment.
Oh yeah, it's worth
we're
it.
All about that,
and it's worth it.
These 5 minutes are awesome,
but are they?
No. Now, to add to today's definitions, I thought it was important to briefly cover the types of avoidance, so that none of us can avoid our need to hear today's podcast.
Great.
Okay, so there are several different kinds of avoidance. So, and we all probably struggle again with one. Right. More than the other.
Mm-hmm.
The first is situational avoidance. Mm. Now, this is when we stay away from the people, places, and things that they said activate you.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood what that meant.
I understand that very well.
I have lots of people, places, and things I avoid regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now there is, this one is a little bit rougher, cognitive avoidance. Mm. Where we actively turn our mind away from distressing thoughts and memories.
Mm-hmm.
I just refuse to think about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shove it in this dark corner.
In my mind rug.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Protective avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is by doing actions in your physical environment that help you feel safer in your inner world. And they said these can be things like cleaning and organizing. Or like rituals or people that have lucky charms.
Like this feels like OCD. I'm not saying it is. I'm just that they,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to use a Jolene phrase, rage clean and make my house look nice because my inner turmoil is out of control. So I can do this.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't help much, kids.
Just, no. You know. I mean, my floor is vacuumed, but my mind is still a mess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have waited for rage cleaning to come.
To come and bite you. I know.
It's not my coping mechanism. I've wanted it to be, but it's not.
It's not.
Not that it's healthy, but, you know, at least I have a clean house out of it, if that's the case.
Now, I also want to throw in here that perfectionism and over-preparation can also be forms of protective avoidance.
I didn't think of that, and that's a little rude.
I know. It hurts my feelings, too. Like, why did I have to add over-preparation? Deep sigh. Okay, next. Somatic avoidance. Now, this is steering clear of situations that elicit a physical response similar to anxiety or a stress response. Now,
One side of the spectrum is stuff like avoiding thrill rides.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, like that gets your adrenaline pumping, and yeah. so I don't want to deal with that. And the other side is stuff like falling in love.
Oh. Those are so different.
Uh-huh.
I will not avoid a thrill ride for anything. I might avoid the other.
Yeah. And the last is substitution avoidance, where you replace certain feelings with others that feel more acceptable to you. Mm. For example, replacing sadness with anger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I resonate okay. with that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's way easier to be mad than yeah. to admit you're upset, like sad.
Right.
Now, I also today have another little fun section of examples of things you might avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't want to just jump into traits. I wanted to give us some real world things so that none of us can say we don't do this, because we mm-hmm. do.
Because we all do.
Yeah. New opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Promotions or advances at work.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships. Mm-hmm. And that can be friendships or right. romantic.
Yeah. Right.
Family get-togethers.
Mm-hmm.
Social situations.
Mm-hmm.
And difficult feelings.
Mm.
Well, I avoid all of those things from time to time.
Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. Now, let's get into some traits. If you're thinking, this isn't me.
I don't know how you haven't thought it wasn't you yet.
I'm going to
give just in case.
Give some yeah. thanks to the millennial therapist for lots of these.
Okay.
Chronic procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Refusing to make important decisions.
Mm. Hey!
I know. Like, wait, no, I'm just needing all the information. Mm. I want to be smart. I'm not avoiding. I don't like this either one. Escapism. Mm-hmm. Now, this can look like daydreaming, mm-hmm. binging, scrolling, mm-hmm. reading.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say reading.
I know. It's how I do it. Or going outside to get some air. Uh-huh.
I'm at a park. How far are you going outside?
I don't know, but
far
I mean,
enough yeah, to avoid something.
We've all done that. We're all introverts at this table. We're at a party, like, I just need to get some air.
I've definitely done that.
I don't need the air. I'm avoiding talking to people that I don't know.
If I right. can't hide in the kitchen or pet someone's dog. Cat
oh, I'm again. So glad you said that, because I also said hiding in the bathroom.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Uh-huh. Well, if uh-huh. you hide in there too long, they're going to
think you have some problems.
So you can't hide in the bathroom. I've thought about it.
Oh, we've all hit in the bathroom. Or showing up late and leaving early.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. You show up early, like, people actually talk to you. Like, yeah. you have to engage differently.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, but I have you're a problem. Like
more than fashionably late. You can slip in.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was there. No problem. It was mm-hmm. nice. Food was good.
Oh, okay. Let's just keep rolling with the punches. You're quick with excuses to get out of things.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes they're valid, but. Yeah.
A lot of times they're not.
If you wanted to do it, you would find a way.
You could find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I just know that our kids happened to be fake sick an awful lot. Like, oh, children are the best excuse. Or they always had nap time at whatever mm-hmm. the social event was. Oh, I'm sorry. That's one of their naps.
It wasn't like, oh, I didn't even tell you the day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's definitely nap time.
And then someone would be like, oh, great, we got a pack and play. Oh.
You don't have a blacked out room, but seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Always having a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of avoiding. But if I'm busy,
mm-hmm.
I don't have time to think.
Right.
Or process my emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. Keeping your. Oh, my gosh, Becky. I hurt my own feelings. Keeping yourself busy with trivial tasks. To avoid the important and meaningful ones.
Yep.
Deep cleaning your fridge.
Yeah, it has to be done right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it really does.
Well, you can come over if it needs to be done right now. I have one for you.
I'm too busy doing mine.
No.
You never have any silence.
Okay.
Because again, that's avoiding your thoughts yeah, exactly. and your emotions. Yeah. Minimize painful events and feelings.
Mm.
Well, that doesn't bother me. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'm okay. No, I'm okay.
Cover that up.
Your leg's off.
Oh, yeah. It's a flesh wound. Isolation and withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping a low profile or not striving to be the best.
Mm.
possibly so that you never call any attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, at work, at school, anywhere. Like, I'm just going to float, blend in. Mm-hmm. Oh, pull away when things get serious, intense, or intimate.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Avoiding people who tell you the truth.
Oh.
When you let that text message sit a bit long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about the changes you want to make, but never following through.
Fair.
I mean, because we all know.
I'm really good at that.
I know how I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
BetterHelp had the next two. Steering clear of anything that might make anyone mad at you.
Mm. Oh, well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Even, you know, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes we're going to. Starting to pursue something and then backpedaling when nervousness sets in.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that one, but yes.
Mm-hmm. And safety behaviors when avoiding or escaping aren't possible. And these are things like limiting eye contact and not talking.
Mm-hmm. Hiding in the back?
Yep. Or, I've got one for church behaviors, like always sitting with your safety friends.
Mm-hmm.
Never Ouch. Meeting the new people. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sometimes I hide in the kitchen because I'm not ready to people when there's new people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. I hide behind my children. Oh, I do, though. Mm-hmm. I do. I have a hard time with the names, but I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we've all learned. Yes, we all do this. And some of these behaviors hit a little more than others.
Right, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about how did we get here. Can you guess the first one?
Fear.
How did you know? You guys are like spying on my notes. No, fear is
everywhere. They are at the table, to be fair.
They are at the table.
They're blurry from here, but cool.
Okay, so I have three fears, though, to start off with. The first is fear of finding out the truth.
Yeah, I've been there.
Uh-huh. I have a couple of examples, and that's all I'm going to say about this because they both make so much sense to me, and I've done both.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm not going to the doctor because he might tell me something's wrong with me.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Uh-huh. That's why I waited 6 months when I thought I was having a heart attack.
Becky.
I wasn't.
I know.
But yeah, 6 months before I went.
Good plan.
Mm-hmm. I was super smart.
Because if it was a heart attack.
Right. I would have been dead.
Six months.
6 month long heart attack.
6 months was good.
Or I'm not going to tell the person how I feel because I might find out they don't feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you let your opportunity pass you by. So fear of finding out the truth. Next one, fear of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
This plays into the people pleasing, the approval seeking, the you hold my worth in your hands. Yeah. And I really hate that we all live with the belief system of I'm not going to be okay unless you like me.
It's terrible.
Hard one.
But I don't know why I think that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I care so badly.
Because they don't even matter most of the time.
No, it's not the people I'm closest to. I never sit around worrying if you guys or David or my family isn't going to love me and accept me. It's
you like olives and I still love you.
Right? I do like olives. I hope someone brought some tonight.
Oh, I'm sure somebody did.
Someone a couple weeks ago brought like enormous. They're like the size of, I don't even know. They were huge.
Yeah,
it was really fun to teach.
It
Feline
was not
with them.
Me.
Nope.
Our last fear we're covering today is fear of the unknown. And I'm not going to let my worth feel diminished because you just said that. But fear. You know what? We got to joke around because this stuff stinks.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And we avoid stuff when we can't predict or know the outcome with certainty.
Yeah. Even when it's going to be good. That's the part that like gets me is that I will avoid it. Even when I'm like, I think that it will be good.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, and how often are we ever going to know the outcome of anything for a certainty?
Never.
No, I mean.
We don't.
There's a very high probability. Like even sitting in a chair. Is the chair going to hold me? I'm pretty certain.
But yeah, it could break.
We have a chair that kind of bites downstairs. So,
yes. I haven't found death chair in a while.
I haven't either.
So, yeah. If I don't know what's going to happen or how someone's going to respond, I'm just going to avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not healthy.
It's really sad. Okay. Avoidance, how do we get here? Number two, avoidance is about avoiding stress rather than dealing with it.
Right.
Because who wants to deal with their stress?
No.
Yeah. Number one, it usually requires doing some kind of uncomfortable work to fix it.
Right.
Like making,
we don't want
to
do that.
No. Like, because it's like, oh, I have to make a life change or I have to forgive somebody. Like, right. No thanks.
Oh, no. Those don't sound like good plans.
No. I'm just going to avoid it. Or second, if I'm going to deal with my stress, that means I have to admit out loud that I am stressed.
Oh, fair, gross. Fair.
And then everyone will know I'm not perfect and can't handle. Let me just say right now, my name is Becky. I am stressed.
Everybody has stress.
So are you.
Yeah.
You know, but we might have to admit this stuff bothers us or that we're not able to cope with everything on our plate right now.
Right.
Or that we don't have it all together or that we're not self-sufficient. First of all of those thoughts are true and they are all true for everyone.
Right.
But instead of realizing that we're in the same boat as everybody else, we just tell ourselves we're alone and not good enough.
Yeah.
So we just keep on avoiding the stress rather than dealing with it by asking for help.
Right.
Or making the changes necessary to lighten our load.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep avoiding. This seems to be working for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we're here.
Right?
It's working out so well.
It is. It just really works. How did we get here? Number three. Because it hurts.
Yeah.
Dr. Jennifer Gregg said avoidance coping is anything we do to try not to feel our feelings.
Mm,
yeah. Feeling our feelings isn't a picnic.
No. What is the opposite of a picnic?
I don't know. Something to a dungeon food? I don't know. But... Yeah. But we really do. We avoid any. We do everything we can not to feel.
Yep. I definitely do.
Next one. It's confusing. It's really confusing. Now, I wrote this. This was especially a couple weeks ago when I wrote this, but I'd been in a really weird funk and I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it because I didn't know what was wrong.
Right.
So I couldn't fix it or solve
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But leaving it alone wasn't making it any better.
Right.
Either. So I had to sit with all my weird feelings that I didn't know what they were, and I had to journal it, and I had to talk it through with David, and I had to cry and get to what it really was.
Right.
But it's confused because sometimes something is wrong and we don't know why.
Right. Yeah.
Because we've buried it underneath so much other stuff.
Right.
Anyway, it's confusing and it's painful. Next one, we avoid stuff because we've been hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge one.
We all have been. And guess what? We're all going to hurt again. But avoiding it doesn't bring life.
And we're all probably the reason someone else is avoiding.
Oh, that is true. And that hurts.
Yeah.
That makes me very sad.
Yeah.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. Well, ideally, it's done it unintentionally, but I'm sorry.
Right? I mean, it's. Yeah. It's really hard, but we avoid situations that feel similar to ones we've been in before that didn't work out.
Right.
I know that, but hearing you say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or we avoid people who are similar to people who have hurt us.
Right.
I even have like physical aversions to strangers in grocery stores whose hair looks similar.
Oh, wow.
To people who have hurt me, where I panic and I'm like, I know they don't live here. But I will panic going, oh my gosh, is it? And I'm ready to run.
Mm. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. But we have to know that so we can get over our crazy because that's ridiculous.
We all probably have something very similar to that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that one particular, but how many things that we won't even address of like, oh no, I don't go there because of you know.
Yeah, then, where you drive a different way to not pass the building.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and if you say it out loud to someone else, you'd be like, oh, well, that sounds a little... Well, special.
And it's so unfair. Like, it's so unfair to all those people.
Right.
Well, because you have this kind of personality and this person from 10 years ago had this personality.
Yeah. Right.
I judge you and we can't be friends.
Right.
Okay, last one. How did we get here? We avoid because we think it works. I mean, we only do what...
Right.
And what
I mean, it works to an extent.
That's what
it works-ish.
Yes, it works in the very immediate short term.
Right. But have the long negative consequences per the beginning.
See, we don't think about that. Like,
because we're just dealing with the moment.
Box of ice cream bars and Gilmore Girls is going to really make me feel better.
It is. It absolutely is right now.
For 20 minutes, I feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that slow drive away from the Taco Bell. We're like, this was a bad idea. It was so good in the moment. Yeah. You know, I put here, you know, Dwight and Jim make my depression feel a little bit less.
Yeah.
And scrolling on my phone gets me out of writing a podcast on avoidance. Fair. So it does work a little tiny smidge, but okay, there's a real big but, and even Sir Mix-a-Lot doesn't like it.
Too big.
Yeah. Oh, boy. There's a little cute baby boy on the podcast.
Thank you. He is. He is smiling away.
Do you want to hear some truth?
Uh-huh.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the truth you need to hear. Number one, this might come as a shock to you. Avoidance doesn't actually work.
No, it doesn't.
No.
No. I'm sorry if that was a surprise to you out there. So let's just get it out of the way. Here's some truths you might need to hear. Avoiding a person doesn't make them stop existing.
Right.
Did you know that? Like, they still exist.
Yeah.
Pretending your feelings aren't there doesn't make them go away. Eventually, things bubble to the surface, and the longer you've been pushing them down, the more explosive they can be when they do come out. Every stuffer knows what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the longer you stuff, like, the bigger the blow up.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Is gonna be. So avoidance is like getting into a terrible car wreck and then duct taping your car back together.
I've seen those.
Right? And like, you're kind of able to drive a few feet.
Right.
So you think it's working, but the problem isn't fixed.
Right.
It can't be fixed with duct tape, but that's what we keep trying to do. Like, well, I'm kind of functional, so.
You replace good the enough. Duct tape a million times. You're like, no, friend.
Yeah. No, you got to go to the mechanic and deal with it. So avoidance doesn't solve any problems. It ignores them. It pretends they're not there. The person, the situation, the feelings, the dreams, desires, and goals, they're all still there. You're just pretending they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing Therapy said, when you try to prevent stress instead of allowing yourself to feel your emotions, you give yourself a false sense of control.
Mm.
In reality, what you're doing is handing control to the stressor, which does more long term than good. But who doesn't want to be controlled by the thing you're avoiding? But wait, there's more.
But we think it's control. You're right.
We do.
Absolutely do.
It's not. You're handing control to the thing.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. They now live in your mind.
Mm.
Here's another one. Wait, there's more. Avoidance also maintains anxiety. You guys.
I don't like
that. Let's do it. No. Sorry. Verywellmind.com said, these avoidance behaviors prevent you from gathering evidence that disproves your maladaptive beliefs about social situations. Mm-hmm. For example, if you always leave a party at the first sign of anxiety, you never have the chance to learn that if you stay long enough in the situation, your anxiety will eventually diminish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not much, but it will.
Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked about, I'm usually fine when I get there.
Right.
Or within the first little bit, whatever.
Yeah. Once you
minutes.
Find, yeah.
But if you always bail the second something feels a little bit scary.
That would be knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But then you just cement your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And then you never learn that you can do it. So
miss out.
Avoiding maintains your anxiety. You never get over any of the anxious mm-hmm. thoughts. Because you didn't die.
Yes.
Okay. And that is one of the saddest truths of avoidance for me, that there are some very real collateral impacts, which is this one, is what I'm calling it, collateral impacts of avoiding life's hard things.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. I've said this a bunch of times. You cannot numb the dark without also numbing the light.
Right.
When we avoid our negative feelings and anxiety in the short term, we can avoid them in the short term, but long term, we're keeping our lives small.
Mm-hmm.
And missing out on the growth that comes from doing the hard things. And you never get to find out that you're capable of doing the hard things.
Right. Yeah.
And you are.
We are.
Psychology Today says avoidance gives us fast, but temporary relief from discomfort while keeping us stuck in the long run. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we talked about that maybe last time about the concrete shoes. Like we're just, no, I'll just stay here forever.
It's more comfortable.
Exactly the same. The persistent reliance on psychological avoidance bears a heavy toll as it hinders our pursuit of a brave and fulfilling life while stunting our personal and professional growth. Mm. By evading discomfort, we forfeit invaluable learning experiences and the opportunities they bring.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I've done it.
I do it all the time.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I avoid all the scary things instead of going, hey, you might actually be able to do this. Right. You probably can do this.
Right. It's true.
And last. No, maybe not. Close to last. We got a lot of ways we got here because... We got problems.
Thanks.
You need to know this, though. Avoidance is not sustainable. Mm. Oh. I might be here on truths, but you need to be willing to ask yourself, I don't enjoy this question. I want to punch myself. Am I planning to avoid this forever?
Mm. Yes, if I can.
I would have just stopped at, are you planning to avoid this? And
yeah, but like forever. Is that your goal? Forever? Yep.
Mm. Forever.
That's because exhausting.
It is. Like, is that what I'm signing up for? Because if you're not willing to deal with the fear or pain or stress or person, that's your only choice. Deal with it or avoid it forever. Mm. That's rough.
Yeah.
Like, forever. As Matthew McKay says, it puts your life on hold. The depth, height, and reach of your existence is limited by your day after day, week after week, year after year attempts to avoid feelings and people that are ultimately unavoidable. Hmm. So there's a nice, fun truth for you. Your choice, deal with it or avoid it forever. Hmm. And I want to wrap this section up with just a few more truths. The first is this: avoidance tells the truth. Hmm. Psych Central said the degree to which we avoid is directly linked and associated with the level of perceived threat or danger. Hmm. So how actively we stay away from something tells us, like, do I see this as a huge deal? Like, do I really feel scared or threatened?
Mm. Right.
So pay attention to that. What and who you're avoiding can give you information about how you need to grow and figure what you need to let go of. Mm-hmm. What is the threat or danger you're avoiding and why does it scare you? What do you not want to feel?
Right.
What do you not want to have to say out loud to someone?
Hmm. Mm.
Because I've got something in all those categories.
Fair.
You know?
Hmm.
Next. We're conditioning our brain.
Hmm.
There's a fun...
I knew it was coming.
...truth. Psychology Today, and this one really hurts. The issue lies not in the discomfort itself, but in our reactions to it. By evading challenges, we signal to our brains that the only way of handling difficult situations is to flee... rather than confront.
Oh, right. Gross.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we're teaching ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. That's my only option is to run away. We're the Monty Python again.
I was actually just thinking
yes.
that.
I don't want to run away every time.
Not everything's a killer rabbit.
No. And I actually like have some gumption and grit and bravery in mm-hmm. me. And I want right. to prove it. And is my life proving it?
No, I mean,
it's rough. Like, I don't understand why we want to teach our brain this lie.
It seems easier.
It seems. Seems. Well, and it probably is, but then again, you're stuck small.
Right. It's easier for the second.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Jolene. I said, I don't want to be the knights in Monty Python whose answer to everything is run away.
Yes.
I wrote these a while ago. I didn't know.
I like that. When we vibe.
Oh together. My gosh. And I also want to throw this in, and this is disgusting. Remember, parents, that our children are watching us,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't matter at all what we say. They watch what we do.
Right. Mommy had a hard day today. There have been some tantrums that were mommy's.
But I can tell them, no, go do the brave thing. Try. But if mommy,
you don't try,
sits on the couch.
You've got big kids and they have words.
Uh-huh. Yes, they do. And they will point stuff like, didn't you say it on your podcast? Yes, I did.
Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Thank appreciate you for pointing you out children. My faults right now.
I'm making myself choke. Choking on the truth. For you. Last, and I saved this one because it is really important, and we're usually so very wrong about it. Excuse me. This is a really big truth. Please hear me. It's almost never as bad as we think it will be.
True. That's true.
That's very true. And we go through it and we're like, oh yeah, I remember that. But then avoid. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember that. It wasn't so bad.
No, it almost never, ever, ever is.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's great, but it's not.
It's not how we made it up in our head.
Yeah. Even like the scariest thing to me is like dealing with a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Like that's maybe mad at you or the relationship isn't great or something. But in our head, we tell ourselves a story that they're going to just say the world's worst things to us and punch us and whatever. They probably don't want to be having the conversation either. No,
they probably like to avoid it also. They probably won't punch you.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think that probably is going to happen.
Yeah. But we tell ourselves the worst case scenario story. Or that, you know, when we get up to make the speech, we'll wet our pants and fall down and forget how to talk. And
maybe one of those things.
But like, it's probably not. They're not going to throw garbage. It's always one of my goals to make Crystal laugh. So
I'm picturing, never have I thought that I was going to get up and wet my pants.
Next time.
And see, that was. That
she
was,
makes presentations at work.
I do.
Oh, heavens.
Pass out. Yes. Lose my words. Yes.
Oh.
Pee my pants. No.
Okay.
Visual. I went visual with that.
Do you want some tips?
Yeah, I need
some. Let's have some tips to not avoid. Now, before we get into specific tips, I found two questions I wanted to fit in. Number one, how does this affect other people? How is my avoiding affecting other people?
Are we making them stuck too?
Yeah.
We're not giving them chances.
Mm-mm. Oh.
Whether it's to like...
I didn't even think about
some
that.
Some of it would even be like, we don't even necessarily give somebody the chance to apologize.
Because
I'm going to just avoid them. You hurt me. I'm done.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm avoiding that. Again, the lady with the similar hair.
Yeah.
I was that like, could be no a great chance. Friend. Yeah.
That was the one that I thought of.
Uh-huh. Or you could be affecting other people by refusing to use your gift.
Yeah.
And do the scary thing. And so now they don't get comforted or encouraged.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you didn't say the thing.
There is no right say. Tool for the job. Mm-hmm. They need a dingle hopper.
Yeah.
Where are you?
They needed you.
We have some downstairs.
The other question was, whose idea was this? Whose idea was it to avoid? So basically, am I being influenced by something other than truth?
Yeah.
Is something else telling me to avoid? All right. Let's get into some specific tips. Now, some very wise psychologists, more than one, pointed out that if you are consistently using avoidance strategies to cope, it's likely you have an unhealthy amount of stress built up and you need to start incorporating some stress-reducing habits into your daily routine. Mm. I'm going to throw a few at you. Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Adults are like, what? Play. Laugh. Wonder. Talk to people. Do things you enjoy doing. Sleep.
Yeah.
But not avoidant sleep.
No. But, you know.
I've done that.
Mm. Yeah.
And I didn't even realize. Of course, I knew I did that. But then somebody told me. They're like, yeah, when I don't want to deal with it, I just take a nap. And I was like.
Oh.
Oh,
thanks for shining the mirror.
That's so true.
I mean, I'm glad you can take the nap, though. But. Not like that.
Not like that. Not to get out of doing the thing.
Oh, no, and I do.
All right. This next one is difficult. Practice. Now, again, I said practice because none of this comes easy.
Yeah.
Practice tolerating discomfort.
Ooh. Okay.
Jolene's pursing her lips like, why are we friends? Okay.
I showed up for this today.
Okay. I have some examples. Now, this is... things like intentionally exposing yourself to situations and conversations that make you uncomfortable without running away. Mm. Now, Very Well Mind had this, and I really liked it. They called it the 5-minute solution.
I like that.
If you, right? Because 5 minutes, that's like, oh, okay, they're not saying
until you tell me what it is. I'm not sold.
She's
yet.
Not sold yet. Okay. If you find yourself, let's say, hiding in the bathroom.
Okay. Okay.
We've all done it.
Yes.
Tell yourself you'll go back to the party or gathering for at least 5 minutes before hiding again.
I can do that. I can.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Right. But I can sign up for, okay. Because you can tell yourself you can do anything
for five minutes. Okay.
Another talk I went to, the lady told me, if you're doing something uncomfortable, just tell yourself beforehand, in 5 minutes, this very difficult thing will be over.
True. That is true.
I do that all the time when I'm about to do something terrible. Or I tell myself, okay, in an hour, it'll be over. And then I reward myself with some little silly thing.
Yeah.
Then I get to go home and eat nachos. Like, the good is coming.
I helped somebody through something really difficult last week, and I just kept telling them, I promise you, it is not going to be as bad as you're making it up right now, only because I've been through that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I'm sitting here and I'm telling this person. The moment came, I had no investment in this situation. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I feel it in my stomach. Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, but sure enough, I was like, see, I told you it wasn't as bad as you'd made it up
never
in your
is.
Head.
Yeah.
That is. Like, has it ever been really worse than what we've made it up to in our head? I don't know if I can think of a situation that it has.
And even been. When, because even sometimes our worst case scenario that isn't really that big of a deal happens. But then the fallout is never bad as what we thought would happen when the worst thing happens.
Yes.
Like, okay, no, the sun still rises. Yeah. Everyone's still it's all still fine.
Yeah.
Stuff You're generally right. works out.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another one. Do one thing every day that scares you.
Oh, that's hard.
Now, small thing.
Okay, thank you.
Examples like talk to a stranger. I have been working on this, and it embarrasses my children so badly. But even if it's just like, I love your shoes, or if you just ask the cashier, like, you having a good day? It makes a difference. It's small, and then I learn that I don't die and that people aren't scary and people are generally good.
Why would that be embarrassing?
I don't know, because teenagers are conditioned to not talk to people.
Fair.
Or here's some other examples.
Somebody made a compliment to me yesterday. It made me feel good. So you telling somebody about their shoes.
It really does matter.
Or actually asking about their day probably makes a huge difference in their lives.
We remember those things. Then you come home flying someone said I had cute hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make an appointment. You guys,
I
made a phone call this week.
Hey.
Like an actual legit. And David was he's like, you didn't make me do it? No, I knew you were busy and I took it off your plate and I talked on the phone and I didn't die.
I should do
that. The lady was actually nice and I made the appointment.
Phones don't bother me.
Oh, they bother me, but
please
I didn't
call
die.
Me.
There are too many questions and things and there's usually someone making sounds.
Fair.
My last example is put on your running shoes.
Okay.
Maybe that terrifies you this will be painful and not enjoyable, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Okay. Next tip. Journal.
Mm-hmm.
David encouraged me to do this when I was facing those negative feelings, but I didn't know what they were.
Right.
He's like, write until you know.
Right.
And it can feel really weird, but it might help you figure out why you're avoiding the thing you're avoiding.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to write it than it is to say it.
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
Well, but there's so many layers, like we kind of already discussed, that it's not just the first thing that comes to your mind. Oh, yeah, that was what's bothering me. Yeah. I'm all good now. It's 25 layers down.
Because we've been hiding it for
this
so long.
This thought goes to this thought.
Well, and we're in the spiral and we tornado and it's like we're saying 40 things that are bothering us. Mm-hmm. It's not about those things.
Nope.
Sometimes you just got to list those out to really get to whatever it is.
Get to what it is.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, this is a big one. have those difficult, one of my principals used to call them courageous conversations.
Oh.
Have the difficult or courageous conversations in person.
Yes. Please do.
Yeah. But two reasons. Matters. One, it's really easy to misinterpret people over text and email.
Yeah.
It makes it so much worse. And then you're reading into their tone.
They took too long to respond.
Yes. Or that you see the little dots disappear. Like, you just read. You don't know their body language.
Yeah.
Mm. You can't hear any emotion in their voice.
Right.
And two, people tend to be more civil in person.
Yes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's way easier to say nasty stuff over text than what you would say to someone's face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have those conversations in person.
Yeah.
The last one is from Psych Central. Think towards the future. Avoidance is all about the right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is not thinking long term in any way. So focus in on how the decisions you're making now will make you feel in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you will be proud of yourself for later.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way,
that's
like,
good.
Yeah. Will I be proud of myself tomorrow for what I did today?
For talking to a stranger,
mm-hmm.
doing the hard thing.
Having I didn't
that
avoid
crucial
it.
Conversation in person. Please have those in person.
Always. Okay. You want the real real?
Yep.
Okay. I try to keep these a little short this session because we've been hitting really hard information. Okay. Here we go. I think part of why avoiding feels very natural is because that's pretty much all we're capable of on our own.
Yeah.
In my own strength, I can run away and hide. Mm-hmm. I'm great at hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I can avoid you and scary stuff until I die.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry your fear and your pain and your stress that you're working so hard to run away from and ignore and pretend away on your own.
Mm-hmm.
God can handle your feelings, even the angry ones and the frustrated ones and the lock yourself in the bathroom crying ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to shame you or embarrass you or love you less for having them. He's going to help you through them and help you navigate through them, not around them, through them. And he can help you face whatever is on the other side of what you're avoiding. He will stand with you during the conversation. He will walk you through the job interview, hold your hand while you talk through your childhood in therapy. And we sometimes get the wrong idea that asking Jesus to help us through the hard things means all the hard things will go well. Or yield the outcome we desire. While it doesn't mean that, we still come out better and stronger because we learned to rely on Jesus for strength and help. And we learned that we were able to do the right thing. We might have hated it the whole time or come home and cried, but we did the thing. And because we did it, we learned and we grew as a person and we stretched our muscles and we survived.
Growing is necessary.
You don't have to avoid it. It's not going to be as bad as you think it is. You can do the hard things. We love you, and we will be back next week with self-pity. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.